306 DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday. I was so pissed when the heat was going to be over last night at 7 p.m. and then it just kept on going. They're like, I guess we're going to extend it one more day. I'm like, you MFers. Michael Kelly's here. Let me catch up on a few things that's happened on the show so far. Andrew hurt my feelings. I texted him last night and said, I'm putting together a pyramid game. And he replied with, not necessary, period.
Value.
And Michael came in. I can say this because we all know that we think this about Wheeler. He wants to have you studied because you appear to just have no anxiety. And but then I was pointing out that you say you're never bothered by anything, and yet you're bothered by everything.
No, I have anger. I just don't have anxiety.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Things piss me off all the time.
But you got everything figured out, man.
Eh.
Like, if I had 5% of the confidence you did on most of the things you're talking about, I wouldn't have to go to therapy.
Yeah.
I don't. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's the trick.
I mean, when you were like, I don't worry about what's going to happen 6 months from now, even though I have to worry about it. Like, you know, let's say your contract's coming to an end in 6 months.
Yeah.
You said you can compartmentalize and not worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm rocking in a corner those 6 months. I'm thinking like, what are we doing? You know, maybe a bad example.
I think it's a good, it's a gift. It's like, I mean, I wasn't born 6'4". I wish I was.
Right.
But I was born this way.
It's like a superpower. You're like one of those people who touch a stove and not get burned.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't call it a superpower because it's not really making me rich and famous and all that, but it is a nice benefit.
Yeah, but you're comfortable in yourself, brother.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's worth not being 6'4".
I would agree. I'll take it.
100%.
Not complaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some of us that don't have either.
Yeah, I'm anxious at 5'9".
Some of us who aren't 6'4", or magically.
I'm just saying, everybody's got their own gifts.
Omitted one thing.
What's that?
That happened before I got here.
What's that?
You were declared the number one talent in the building.
Premier talent.
I know. And I, when I saw Bob Costas walking in here just a minute ago, I looked at him and said, "Go away.
Yeah, just don't even
get out of here, dude."
I don't know why this is so controversial to say.
No,
I don't understand.
It's not controversial. It's spot on. The way that you delivered it, I was like, "Hey, now
she's always got my back.
Yeah,
always got my back.
On my side. Let's
you
go.
Better believe it. Don't mess with Rach.
No way."
Michael, you had a Cardinals question for Wheels, which I think a lot of people out there have.
So, Wheels, I'm a season ticket holder. I had a hard time getting rid of the tickets for the last 2 days. In fact, they went unused. And I keep watching, you know, this guy's getting DNA'd or DFA'd or whatever it is. This is after this trade deadline. Are we getting ready for some big gutting of the entire organization that's going to show the fans, hey, we hear you, or what's going on? It just feels weird what they're up to.
Well, it's weird because it's not what everybody's used to. But I was talking about this. Think about it. This is a 500 team, and this is everybody's reaction. Could you imagine being a White Sox fan? Could you imagine being a Pirates fan where the norm is 90-loss season after 90-loss season after 90-loss season, and then you'll have three or four good years, and then it's back to 90-loss season? Like, I think it tells us two things. One, by the way, that frustration, all that, totally justified, because it should be based on expectations. What are expectations set on? They're set on past performance, right? What you've shown us you're capable of doing, but also what you tell us. And the team tells everybody every year, we plan on being a contender. So that's what you're going to be held to, right? I mean, you're going to be held to the standard that you have created and that you put out there with your own words. So Cardinal fan frustration is absolutely justified. And now if you're getting into the nuts and bolts of why it's gotten this way, I'd compare the concept to a manager that gets older and the game kind of passes him by a little bit. Like Tony La Russa would talk about this at the end of every year. He would evaluate at the end of every year, are they still listening to me? Are we still doing things that will work in the modern game? And you have to kind of assess that. And it, where the Cardinals have been philosophically, player development, player acquisition, the things that they target, the players that they target, for a long time that methodology worked. And now in the last 5 to 6 years, it's working less and less as you go. So something clearly needs to change. And here's the hard part, though. The hard part is what change could happen outside of something unrealistic? Because it's unrealistic to say the Cardinals should go sign Juan Soto. They're not going to spend $600 million on one player because that's what he's going to be. He's going to be a $500 to $600 million player. He's going to be $50 to $60 million a year. They're not going to do that. Outside of that, what could they do that makes you excited? Whoa. Does a change in the front office get you to buy more season tickets? Does it get people to get excited about next year? To a degree, yes, right? But if Mo steps back and Chaim Bloom steps in or another executive comes in, does that boost season ticket sales?
I think it's got to be winning that's going to change the direction. Yes. But having said that, I think what's harder pill for most of us to swallow is when we did see them dismiss Mike Schilt after a good season. It had a little bit of the energy we all liked, which is, hey, making it to the playoffs isn't enough for these guys. They want to go harder.
That was a mistake. I feel like that was a mistake.
And then for the last couple of years, we're being told, oh, chill out. There's a plan here.
Yeah.
And, well, we saw the plan today. Tommy Pham, who we brought in, is walking.
Yep. There are two parts to it. I agree that firing Mike Schilt was wrong. He didn't deserve to be fired because he was doing a good job. And we all know the rumors about, you know, pushing back too much on certain things within. And that's what, you know, it was philosophical differences is how it was categorized. But we all know that that means there was a clash of personalities, right? I mean, he wanted to do something a particular way and the front office did not want to do it that way. And that led to the departure. So I think we can agree that Mike Schilt did not do a thing to deserve to be fired as far as managing the team. This team would be exactly where it is right now if Mike Schilt were here.
Hmm.
Because the manager had nothing to do with the entire pitching staff imploding last year. Nothing to do with the whole pitching staff stinking last year. The bullpen fell apart. The rotation was a disaster. That wasn't the manager. Just like this year. It's not the manager's fault that Nolan Arenado's an average hitter or that Paul Goldschmidt has gone, but that those two guys have gone in 2 years from MVP caliber hitters to league average or below. That's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's not the manager's fault that Wilson Contreras is going to end up missing more than half the year with injuries. It's the front office. It's the roster construction that's the problem. Because when you look at the solutions to the problems, it's more of what they've always done, right? So what was the solution to fixing the pitching staff from last year to this year? It was a bunch of guys in their mid-30s being brought in on quote-unquote reasonable contracts. Guys who don't miss bats, who don't strike people out, who are not front of the rotation guys. Now, it did fix the rotation and stabilize it for about 3.5 months. But since July, the rotation's got a 5.5 ERA because they're in their mid-30s. They don't have strikeout stuff. Sonny Gray was a great signing. Got no issue with that. That was a good contract for a really good pitcher who falls in there as a number one starter on a lot of teams and a number two on every team, no matter how good they are. He's really good. So that nothing wrong with that. But Kyle Gibson is Kyle Gibson. He's what he always has been. Lance Lynn is what he is right now, which is a 36, 37-year-old guy who doesn't strike people out anymore. And when you have that as your base, and he didn't address the offense at all from last year, and I might not have either, because I would have expected Goldschmidt and Arenado to be something closer to what they normally are. But then you have this inability to develop your own players, which is where the frustration comes in, right? I mean, Dylan Carlson has now been given away. This guy was a first-round draft pick, top 100 prospect, finished third in the Rookie of the Year voting his rookie year, and you just gave him away for nothing because you DFA'd the reliever you got for him after 11 games. And it's not the first one. You basically gave Tyler O'Neill away, traded him to Boston for Nick Robertson. You've let Nick Robertson go. You designated him for assignment, so you got nothing for him.
I don't even know who that is.
Right. Nick Robertson, right. He was hurt a lot of the year, and he spent some of the year in Memphis. He's a relief pitcher, and they thought he could help the bullpen this year. Didn't really work out. You didn't get much of anything. You got nothing for Adolis Garcia. You DFA'd him. You let him go. To be fair, he passed through waivers, and every team passed on him. But still, you had him. You developed him. And then he becomes a 30-homer guy. Now, he's had a bad year in Texas this year. But still, you know, you've had that. You got Matthew Liberatore for Randy Arozarena. You've had this series of guys that have come through. Harrison Bader is a great defender, never learned how to hit. You know, they've been cycling these guys forever, and you're not getting it right with any of your own in-house guys. Paul Goldschmidt's not an in-house guy. Nolan Arenado is not an in-house guy. Wilson Contreras, your best hitters are all from outside the organization. all of your rotation are acquired from outside of the organization in free agency. So their inability to develop starting pitchers and impact hitters is now extended to almost a decade.
But you brought up Goldschmidt and Arenado. Both of them came to St. Louis. What part of what wooed them to St. Louis was that intangible. I mean, St. Louis is a hard place to sell if you can go play anywhere you want. That intangible of having a team that has support and people there.
Yeah. Well, history of winning.
But and now, and fans, over the last 2 years, I wonder if we're – I mean, in my entire life, I've never seen a ballpark like it was yesterday and the day before and the day after that.
Yeah.
And are we
most cities
that?
Have seen that.
Yeah,
but that's the problem. St. Louis is not most cities, right? Yeah.
That's why the was it the Brewers?
Yeah, that was the Padres announcers. It was Mark Grant, who is, by the way, Mark Grant is a very St. Louis Cardinals friendly guy. He was buddies with Mike Shannon. He's buddies with the Cardinals broadcast crew. He's a great guy. He's come on with me many times over the years. He's not a Cardinal hater.
I didn't think what he said was wrong.
No.
Spot.
But I can promise you this: he's a Padres broadcaster. That ballpark in San Diego has looked like that many years. During his time as a Padres broadcaster, what's jarring is that it's here.
Yeah.
Because when you talk to manage, like, so one of the things that when I did the Cardinals pre and post game, a lot of times I would spend some of the pregame with the other team, go talk to their manager, go talk to one of their players. And they would always be like, man, it's so much, it's cool being here because you know every night, 30,000, 35,000, even on a weeknight, like these guys would come in on a Tuesday and they'd be like, this is a Saturday night in June for us, but here it is Tuesday night, and they've got more fans than we have on our best nights. And it's now seeing the difference is what's jarring.
Mm-hmm. Michael?
318 in the KMOX newsroom. A severe thunderstorm warning's been issued for Lincoln County and Warren County in effect until 4 o'clock. The severe thunderstorm with 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts and quarter-sized hail is about 5 miles south of Hawk Point, 6 miles north of Warrenton, and it's moving to the east at 5 miles per hour, headed toward Warrenton and Hawk Point. Again, a severe thunderstorm warning for Lincoln and Warren counties until 4 o'clock.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. Let's take a quick break. Be right back. DGS and KMOX. For DGS, happy Friday. As Michael Calhoun was just telling you, bad weather out west, so be careful of that. And of course, Phoebe's driving home from Kansas, so this is just perfect. Yeah. Mm. So if I just go comatose, if it's just Wheeler for the rest of the show, you'll know what's going on. Let's squeeze a little politics out of Michael Kelly. So last night, Kamala Harris has her first interview. Donald Trump has this big kerfuffle going on with Arlington. How are you feeling?
Fine. Look, I think it's been since the change at the top. It's been a nearly flawless campaign for the Democrats. Last night was Kamala's first step out of to the formal interview process. It was taped.
But she was fine.
Yeah, she was fine. And, you know, everybody's saying she's moderated her positions. And right.
She's
running for president. She wants to be president. And look, these folks are doing and saying what it takes to get their votes. I think the naivety that we all have here is to think that suddenly some ridiculous change is going to come as a result of either of them on the first day. Look, I think it's definitely gone the right way. Donald Trump continues. You know, he's got a couple of really good, solid issues to utilize to beat up the Harris team. Number one, this was the anniversary of the Afghanistan pullout. Yeah. And here we are. He stepped on his own message. Yeah. I mean, it could not have been better timing for him. I mean, it's a horrible thing to bringing up, but it's one of his huge contrasts that he has with them. And then when it comes to inflation, he can't help but make himself about the entire conversation. And I think he's running to stand still. And I think this race is moving towards the Democrats.
It reminds me of how lazy Hillary was. You know, she thought she had it wrapped up, and she just sort of, you know, glided into the finish line.
Yeah.
And he seems to be, they're very different people. I don't know that he has, I think this is all he can do. He has one trick, and it worked the first time. But it didn't work the second time, and I don't think it's working the third time.
And I think that was her most positive message from my point of view last night, is she kept making reference to, look, it's time to turn the page on these last 10 years. And they're like, well, you've been involved for those last 10 years. You're right, I have. and it was with Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And it's time to get younger. It's time to bring change. I'm that change. I'm a woman. I'm a person of color. I'm going to be the first female president. So I think that's her message. And I just think that's going to be a better long-term strategy as we slide to November than Donald Trump doing a replay of the sequel, as Barack Obama said. Go
your own way. Welcome back, guys. DGS 334. Dave Murray joins us. Dave, we got some bad weather out there?
Yeah, they're, it's scattered, and that is the key word. There is a cool front coming in, but this thing is painfully slow. The front itself is really up on the Missouri-Iowa border. It's not coming through this evening. It's not coming through overnight. It will probably come through first thing in the morning on Saturday. But there are two batches of severe storms right now, one running from Warrenton up through Troy and Moscow Mills. That's moving off to the northeast, so that's going to stay away from the metro area. And then there's another cluster of severe storms up around. It's just past Carlinville. It's north of Litchfield up to about Raymond. And again, that's also severe. And these things are producing brief but strong winds of 50 to 60 miles per hour, heavy downpours of rain and some localized flash flooding. Maybe some hail, but they're not big hail makers, and a lot of lightning. Otherwise, there's just some hit and miss thunderstorms around, kind of run-of-the-mill thunderstorms. But the story this evening and overnight will be scattered showers and thunderstorms. A couple of them could go strong to severe, but that's definitely not for everybody. It's still humid. It's still kind of hot out there. Temperatures this evening, unless you get under a thunderstorm, temperatures will be like 90, 91, 92 degrees. Get under a storm, you'll get a rain cool to about 80 degrees, 72 for the low. Saturday continues to look like a transition day. The front should get through St. Louis first thing in the morning. There will be fading morning scattered showers and thunderstorms, but the further south you go, that will hang a little bit longer. I think by midday, it's out of the picture completely, partly sunny skies. It's noticeably cooler, 84. Humidity kind of drops off during the day on Saturday, so the transition day. Beautiful Saturday night. Sunday, sunny skies, comfortable. It's a warm day, 86 degrees. There's a secondary cool front coming through. It's a dry front, but it will kind of boost our winds from the south briefly on Sunday, but still a gorgeous day. Monday continues to look like a fantastic day, top 10 day, sunny, low humidity, low temperatures for this time of year, 79-80 for the high on Labor Day. Overall, it's a pretty good weekend.
Dave, not asking you to commit for fall or anything, but is there anything that makes you think that we're looking at mid-90s again in the next couple of weeks?
That's a great question. I think we can rule out next week. I think we can.
Come on,
man,
just say
that's
it.
A tough one.
Just
that's,
say no
I think
heat.
We can. I think we can. No, I'm not going to say that. We can rule out 95 plus. I think.
Okay. Fair enough.
But I don't think we can rule out like 90, 94 kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yet. Quite yet.
Fair enough. Headlines, Rach.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Okay, so childcare costs are squeezing millions of Americans, creating a financial burden that often equals and sometimes surpasses housing payments and food budgets. The consumer price index for childcare grew by about 120% since 1990. If you compare that to housing, that was just a 90% growth. And there's even less growth for transportation and groceries. And the average national price for childcare annually rose 3.7% from 2022 to 2023. That's $11,582 per child.
Woo.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? I'm not asking you to get overly intellectual here, but Kamala Harris blames inflation largely on price gouging, that the corporations just jumped in and took advantage, and Donald Trump saying, no, it's not that at all. What do you think? How's it hit you?
I'm not even going to pretend that I know the answer. So I'm going to pass the question to Kevin. Yeah.
I think what it is a very complicated set of things that
yes.
nobody wants to get into because it's boring.
Yes.
So we're going to come up with the simplest things. Well, Biden did it, or, oh, it's the corporations. And it's a combination of all things. Yeah, there were some government policies that made it worse. Some of them started during COVID, because that was a big driver of inflation by itself, because you're giving out a lot of money, but it was necessary, or at least it seemed like it was necessary, right? So there's this whole chain of events that go into it. I don't know enough about it to break down every one of them, but I know this, it's not one thing. Mm-hmm. And it's not just as simple to say it's my opponent's fault.
Can I tell you something? You're a freak. You are weird as hell. You're the weirdest guy I've ever known. But you're really smart.
He's a smart guy.
You're barely really smart. You're really
he's
smart.
He's got his head on straight.
Yeah.
He's smart.
I mean, I fear him, but...
And you should.
All right, speaking of Vice President Kamala Harris, in her first major interview since Joe Biden dropped out of the race, said that she would be open to appointing a Republican to her cabinet, saying that it would benefit Americans. She said she didn't have anyone in particular in mind for the appointment, mm-hmm. but I mean, I think that's pretty cool.
I do too.
We didn't see that with the Trump administration or the Biden administration.
I think they should all do it.
If you ask that question of one candidate, should you ask it to both candidates?
You bet.
Yeah.
And why? What do you think the answer would be? Like, I don't know. I feel like that's just one of those dumb questions that I saw a piece, and I forget who wrote it, but it was actually an interesting, or maybe it was a tweet, that made the point that a lot of candidates hate doing the interviews with the networks because they're all those kinds of dumbass questions. Like, ask real ones. Like, if I'm watching a network interview with Donald Trump or a network interview with Kamala Harris, I don't care about those kind of things. Like, it's a symbolic question. I mean, it's nice. I think it's nice that you would be open to hiring somebody that is not exactly aligned with you. In fact, I would love to be surrounded by that. And I think you do get
you
that.
Are.
Like, when I know, believe me. But if you're looking at trying to have the right group of people around you, certainly within the Joint Chiefs, for example, you're not going to have a bunch of people that are all exactly the same. You know, you're going to get different voices and different opinions. That's a good thing. But I feel like when you're just asking, you're going to get nothing but the campaign answers. Well, sure, if it's the right person. I can't name the right person. But, like, well, if you can't give me a specific answer, like, yeah, you know what? Mitt Romney would be a good fit. I'd like, you know, I'd consider someone like that. It just feels like almost like an easy out. Because, of course, a candidate's going to say,
I don't know
sure.
if
it's
she,
a throwaway.
I don't know if she would do it. But I think it would be really smart to get Nikki Haley in there.
Yeah. I mean, both politically, but also practically.
Practically.
Having good ideas or different ideas and actually having disagreement within the group is actually the best way to go.
A false alarm over a possible active shooter caused a stampede at Walt Disney World. It happened just before closing on Thursday night when a fight between guests, accompanied by a loud popping sound, sent people running, thinking it was a shooter. No shooter was found, and the sound turned out to be a popping balloon.
Who gets in a fight at Disney?
I was thinking the same thing, Dave. Like, you spend so many thousands of dollars to have this experience, and then it's like, oh, I'm going to fight at Disney World.
When's the last time you were at Disney?
When Phoebe was little.
Okay.
Like 8 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, because I haven't gone in a while, but it was only a few years ago we went to the Animal Kingdom and a couple other places around there. People are terrible. people around there, it's the happiest place on earth, but people are terribly angry while they're there.
Yeah, and that's, like, why go then? Like, why? I'm not a Disney person. It looks fun, but I'm not, just knowing how expensive it is, like, I just said to my boyfriend the other day, like, I'm never going to go to Disney. I'm not going to spend that money to have that experience because it's not important
to me.
You'd
rather do something else.
Yeah, I'd rather do something else. But, I mean, for the people who go, you're spending so much money. Go be in a good mood and have a good time. Mm-hmm. I don't get this, like,
it's
being
like
miserable the whole time.
It's like getting a slap fight at QT. What's wrong with you?
The Boar's Head plant linked to this big listeria outbreak broke food safety rules. Have you guys seen this on the on the news? This is absolutely crazy. The U.S. AG department says inspectors recorded 69 violations in just the past year, and some of the infractions include mold, mildew, insects, and liquid dropping from ceilings. The plant, which is in Virginia, has been shut down until it can demonstrate it can produce safe product.
Just goes to show you the power of marketing. Before all this, if you'd have said, what's the best meat company? Boar's Head would have been
in
the conversation.
I love their products.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
They have good products, but like, and by the way, this is why you need government agencies monitoring companies. That, you know, when people are like, just take everybody out of it, let the market decide it. Really, after people get sick, we're going to let the market decide it.
This is what happens when you deregulate. Also, is this just it for Boar's Head, you guys think?
Is it what?
Is this just, is this toast? No pun intended.
Well, it's just one plant. I don't think that, I think they have more plants than this.
I know this, I won't be ordering boar's head.
Yeah.
I'm going to err on something else.
But you know what? People said that about, not Chipotle. Yeah, it was Chipotle.
It was Chipotle, yeah.
E. coli outbreak happened.
Yeah.
Yep, they're fine.
Yeah.
It's all about the good, you know, can you prove people that your product's safe? Because people already like the product.
Former President Donald Trump made an unexpected campaign promise at a rally in Michigan on Thursday. He promised full coverage for in vitro fertilization treatments, also known as IVF, paid for either by the government or by insurance companies. He told supporters the reason was simple, saying, because we want more babies.
Yeah, I think it's going to be prohibitively expensive.
Here's about $20,000 per round to get IVF.
It's already prohibitively expensive.
So you can't make private companies cover that, can you?
I don't know. It's
I know you can make them cover. You can. What did they do with the
pre-existing conditions?
Right, pre-exist. So maybe there's a way to do that through legislation. But if you're arguing that paying off student loans for people with government money is a bad idea, why should taxpayers pay for other people to have kids?
It's a fair question, Wheels.
I'm not against the idea. I'm not against any of them across the board. I'm just saying that when we end up playing this game where we're just picking and choosing our pet causes to be paid off because it'll get us the votes we want, we got to stop that game from being played.
New research suggests that catching up on sleep on the weekends may significantly decrease the risk of heart disease.
Yes.
I love it. The story's always been the opposite. I've always heard you can't catch up on the weekends. Yeah. You can't really catch up on sleep. It takes you months and months. And a new study says, no, that's crap. If you have a bad week and you sleep in on Saturday and Sunday, you're going to catch up.
Love it.
Yeah.
And donating a kidney is safer than previously thought. A new study tracked 30 years of living kidney donation and found that by 2022, fewer than one out of every 10,000 donors died within 3 months of the surgery. Transplant centers had been using older data saying that it was a risk of 3 deaths per 10,000 living donors. So that's great news.
Wait, they went from 1 in 10?
No, it was one out of every 10,000.
Oh, I thought it was I just started to say I've always wanted to donate a kidney. But then when you said one out of 10, I'm like,
No. One out of 10,000.
Need them both.
Yeah.
Let's do one more story here. Your own personal sports center is in the works. ESPN is looking at using AI to create personalized sports center shows for subscribers to its streaming service that is expected to launch in fall of 2025.
I saw an ad over the weekend with Mark Cuban on TV, and he's talking about Gemini, and he's like, it's like someone with a perfect memory sitting next to you that knows the entire internet and blah, 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 blah. And I just feel dumb because I've never even thought about using AI. I've never thought once about monkeying around with ChatGPT. Am I just dumb?
No, it's just
no. I'm with you.
Like I've played around with ChatGPT, but only to mess around, like to see what it could do. And I don't pay for it, so the paid version is better than the free version. The free version's like, we haven't updated since 2020. But I think...
Is that what it sounds like?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's really annoying. Mm-hmm. They went Urkel for some reason. But what I saw this story, I put it on the rundown too, but apparently on college campuses, ChatGPT is everywhere. Like professors are complaining that kids are using them in class to answer a question like, briefly introduce yourself to the class, and they're going to go into ChatGPT and get the words and just read off of there what they should say.
Crazy. Thank you, Dave. Have a great holiday.
You too.
354 DG Ask Bernie Miklas joins us at the top of the hour. Lots to talk about with the Cardinals. We're also going to talk a bit about Mizzou. And I have general questions about college football. Throwback.
Yeah, it's Throwback Thursday, but we're doing it on a Friday, and we only have a little bit of time here, so I'm just going to jump right into it. 37 years ago in 1987, the first Street Fighter video game was released. Either of you boys ever play this game?
Sure.
Yep, nonstop back in the day.
Is it fun?
Not anymore.
Oh.
Two very different responses.
Well, the games have advanced so much since then, I feel like it's kind of, it's like playing Pong.
It holds up.
31 years ago in 1993, 23 million homes tuned into the CBS debut of The Late Show with David Letterman. Less than half of that many people watched The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and Dave's first musical guest was Billy Joel.
What year was that?
That was 1993. One more story here. 28 years ago in 96, Billy Bob Thornton's movie Sling Blade premiered at Colorado's Telluride Film Festival. The movie went on to earn Billy Bob an Oscar for Best Screenplay.
I didn't know he was acting.
You're like, where'd they find this guy?
Confession. I thought that was just Billy Bob.
Eating up.
I'm like, this is a really good movie, but this guy's going to have limited roles.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.